Isaiah's talking in tongues. Talking in tongues back there. Coming time, my bow tie. John chapter number 2. We'll start reading in verse number 13. We'll go down through verse 17. John 2:13 says, "And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords," he seen them suckers up there and said, "I'm fixing to handle this." "And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables and said unto them that sold doves, 'Take these things hence. Make not my father's house a house of merchandise.'" And then verse 17, this is my text verse, and he said, "And his disciples remembered that it was written, 'The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up.'" Psalm 69:9. "The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up." I want to deal with this passage of scripture this morning, and I want to deal with that phrase on eaten up. I've heard it all my life. That boy is eat up. You've heard that? Boy, a girl, she's eat up. That fellow over there, he's eat up. Boy, you eat up. I've heard it. And then here's the Bible says, "The zeal of that house hath eaten me up." It's the same meaning. It's the same phrase. It means to be consumed with something. Now, it's amazing that you can sit in the house of God and yet you're not even in the house of God. And he said that the zeal of the house of the Lord has eaten him up. And I'm just asking you today, what's eating you up? What has eaten you up? I mean, many a times we come to church, but we're not even really at church. We got other things on our mind. We got other things. We got to have other agendas in our life. The word, the phrase "to be eaten up" means to be consumed with. It means to be saturated with. It is for something to engulf you. And I've been engulfed and I've been saturated and I've been consumed by things. It can stem from love as well as it can stem from hate. There's things from the underworld that can consume you. And there's things from the heavenlies that can consume you. You can go either to the positive side of consumption, or you can go to the negative side of consumption. But one way or the other, it seems like something has captivated our hearts. Something has captivated our attention. It's a consuming us. And God said it ought to be my house that's consuming us. That's right. In this passage, we can see that Jesus has seen the sin of the people at the house of God. I mean, he stood out there and he seen them. They had doves and they had all this, and they was making merchandise of the house of God. And God said, Jesus Christ sat outside of the house of the Lord, and he seen all this sin going on, all this defilement and this corruption in the house of God. And before he even went in, he said, "I know what this needs." And Jesus went out there and got him a bunch of little old straps and put them together and made him a whip. And he said, "I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go in there and beat the devil out of them rascals, run them out of the house of God. God, set this thing in order and get this thing back where it ought to be." And he went in there and done exactly that. And beat them, turned their tables over, threw the junk out, and said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." Amen. He took what it should be and cleaned out the corruption that was in it and turned it back into what it ought to be. That's right. And he did that because of the love of God. He did that because the house of the Lord had eaten him up. That's right. He was overtaken by the things of God. Now, there are several ways that you can and will go. Either you can be eaten up with God and godliness, or you'll be eaten up with the world and ungodliness. The Bible is clear and plain, and it says no man can serve two masters. That's right. You can't serve the world all week long. Listen to me. You can't serve the world all week long and then Sunday put on a little Sunday outfit and a little Sunday smile and a little Sunday halo and come in here and serve the Lord. God ain't buying that junk, friend. Me and you might buy that. You might fool me and everybody else. But God is, the Bible said, we found out in Sunday school, the eyes of the Lord are in every place. And He knows the heart and the intents of our thoughts. And God knows that we serve the flesh all week. And He's not allowing us to come in here and try to act like we're serving Him now. God ain't having that. No man can serve two masters. You'll love one, hate the other. You'll cling to one and despise the other. And my question to you today is this. And I want to try to preach a positive message. But you know what I found out, JD? Two-thirds of all preaching is negative. God set that in order. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. That's what preaching is. To reprove, negative. To rebuke, negative, exhort is positive. Two-thirds of it. I won't try to preach positive today, but I had to get some negative stuff out of the way. To get this car to crank, we're going to have both. Amen. Bad terminology, but I want to ask you this question today. What's eating you up? What's consuming you? What's sitting on the throne of your heart? What is this captivated your attention? Say, man, I love God and I read my Bible. You know, I know people, and I'm probably getting way off the line, but I know people that they get up in the morning, they'll spend an hour with Jesus, they'll go in there and they'll pray, or they'll sit on their porch and just gaze over the beauty or splendor of this whole world and maybe glance across the mountains. I know people that do this. And they look out there and they just kind of with their eyes open, they look out there and they pray like Jabez prayed, or just say, Lord, we want to thank you. And they read them a couple of chapters out of their NIV. And then the rest of the day, they're consumed with the cares of this world. They got God off their back. They did have them a morning of devotion. They did have them a time this morning where they sat down and reflect. But the rest of the day, they spend it on everything but God and didn't pick up God till the next morning. Listen, I know we have to get up and we got to go to work. I understand. I appreciate a man gets up and goes to work. Man won't get up and go to work. That's God. A man shouldn't eat. Amen. But what I'm saying is you can work and have that attitude towards Jesus Christ. You can have that mind of Christ. You can have that prayer without ceasing thing going on inside of you. Amen. You can have a mind towards God even on the job. And I think that's what we ought to get. Now, me and my wife had a conversation the other day. And I'm way, way somewhere. But the Lord brings this stuff up. It's amazing, Steve, how perverted our minds get sometimes. It's amazing how warped and perverted we think. I mean, for a man to think some of the stuff that he thinks, and a woman to think some of the stuff that she thinks, it just blows my mind how out of proportion we've gotten things. And I don't want to chase rabbits, but it ought to be a joy for a man to get up and go to work and provide for his family. It ought to be a real joy. You say, preacher, did you master that? I don't know if I mastered it or not, but I'll be honest with you. God might have just given me, I enjoyed going to work. I enjoy getting up going to work. I thank God that He lets us get up and go to work. You say, preacher, why are you so happy about it? Because there was a time where I couldn't get up and go to work. I'm so glad, thank God, that I can get up and do something. You hear me? I'm so glad that God gave me something to do with my hands during the day. I'm so glad. I'm glad God let me make provision for my wife and my kids, put a roof over the head all by the grace of God. And I tell you, a woman ought to be glad, bless God, to get in the kitchen and get some fire on her. Amen. You ladies ought to be thrilled to death to get in the kitchen and make a mess and mess up some dishes and get some flour on you and have it just... You ought to be thrilled about getting your little old kids in there and teaching them how to mix up some Duncan Hines or whatever it is and teach them how to bake a cake. I mean, but that ought to be just something that we just enjoy, because that's the way God intended things. I'm going to tell you something. Anybody don't like that. Any woman don't like doing what women were designed to do is a perverted woman. Any man don't like doing what a man was designed to do is a perverted man. That's right. I don't like, I don't like, I don't like, I,
You need to find out what God made us for. I ain't even trying to pray. I'm asking you, what's eating you up? What's consumed you? What is eating you up? I'm going to tell you something. I understand in this old dog-eat-dog world we live, the rat race. I understand all the circumstances, situation. I know what it's like. But I'm asking you a question, what's eating you up? You can still work and have a mind of Christ. You can still function and live a full life out there and do all the responsibilities, carry on all your daily duties, and still have the right attitude toward God. In the book of Corinthians, it says this, that the house of Stephanus had addicted themselves to the ministry. They addicted themselves to the ministry. That means that they were eaten up with the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were consumed by the ministry of Jesus. That means that it just ate them alive, man. That they couldn't get enough of it. God give us a people that's addicted to the Lord Jesus Christ, huh? God give us some people that's addicted to the ministry today. Today, if you had to give an answer, if you just had to give an answer today. And by the way, you should be willing to give an answer. I mean, I'm not up here just I'm not trying to do, that's not me. That ain't what I try to do. I don't try to browbeat people. I don't try to beat it in or beat it out of people. But you ought to be willing today to sit down and examine yourself and see whether you be in the faith. You ought to be able to examine yourself and see what's eating you up. You ought to be willing to sit down and examine yourself and see where you stand with the Holy God. You ought to be able to examine yourself. You ought to be glad. You ought to be willing. You ought to really want to. You ought to have a desire to sit down with the Word of God and say, I want to see how my life lines up with this book. We're to be glad to do that. Really? We'll be glad to be able to examine ourselves and search the scriptures and see where we stand with God. We'll be glad to do that. It's not asking too much. But if you had to give an answer today, and you had to be honest, I wonder what each one of you would say was eating you up. I mean, if we just stopped right now and just meditated and just kind of thought to ourselves, what's eating me up? I wonder what pops in your mind, what eats me up? What consumes me? What am I focused on? What's taking the place of Jesus Christ? Why is it that I ain't walking in the Word of God? Why is it that I'm not where I ought to be with Jesus? What's taking the place of Him? What sits on the throne of my heart? Why ain't my attitude what it ought to be? Why ain't my home what it ought to be? Why ain't my relationship what it ought to be? Something's consuming you. Something's consuming you. We'll get there. In Proverbs chapter 26... verse 12, we'll mention a few things that consumes people, okay? And hopefully get down to the positive side of this thing. But Proverbs chapter 26, verse 12, the Bible says, Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him. I see when I read the Bible that people are eat up with their own conceit. People's eat up with it. What is conceit, Miss Stephanie? Conceit is, that means their own way of thinking. People's eat up with what they think. I mean, can I get a witness? People is eat up with what? Well, I'll tell you what I think. I'm telling you, friend, I don't give a flip what we think. I care about what the Bible says. Amen. That's what matters. That's what's going to stand one of these days when you have to stand before God. What you think and what your opinion is, what you're suggesting, it ain't going to amount to a hill of beans. But I can promise you what's written therein, the Word of God, is going to stand on that great day when God sends His Son to judge all mankind. He's going to open the Word of God and He's going to judge us based not on us, but what's in the Word of God. Right. Not on what you think, but people's eat up. Boy, I just had a thought. We'll see if the Lord brings you back up. People that have sit in church all their life and know not the Word of God and don't care. Isn't that amazing? People sit in church for years and years and years. Hey, listen to me. I'm talking about your own conceit, what's eating you up. There's people that sit in church all their life. You can catch them out of church. You can ask them a Bible question. You can ask them a spiritual question. You can ask them for some kind of spiritual help. And they couldn't give you any Bible to save their life. It's because they're eating up with their own kids. But they can give you all kind of ideas. They can tell you all kind of little worldly wisdom. But they can't give you Bible to save their life. Friend, that's because they're eat up with their own conceit. Their own way of life. I tell you what I'd do. I tell you what I said. I tell you what I'd say. I tell you what I think. I don't give a flip what you think. I care about what God says. Amen. What men you think ain't important. That ain't the important part. What's important is what God says and what God thinks. You say, what does God think? God thinks what's in this book right here. That's his mind. That's what he's thinking. Hell, you can challenge this crowd to hold up to the Bible, the things that are said, and they get offended. I mean, you can say, listen to me. Somebody can say something and you can look at them and go, where's that at in the Bible? They'll get mad. They'll say something else. You say, where's that? Give me a verse. Where's that at in the Bible? They get offended. You watch a boy, their feathers get all ruffled. I'm telling you something, friend. That's people that's eat up with their own way of thinking. And we ought to not be eat up with our own, we ought to be eat up with the Word of God. It ought to consume us. All I'm saying is that people are eat up with their own ways of thinking. I wonder why there's so many ways to heaven. Huh? Wonder why there's so many ways to heaven. I wonder why the Presbyterians have a way to heaven. I wonder why the Catholics have a way to heaven. I wonder why the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons and the Catholics. I wonder why the Episcopalians and I wonder why the Methodists. I wonder why the Baptists. I wonder why the Baptists have 14 different ways to heaven now. Because of their own conceit. Everybody has their own way of thinking. Everybody says, well, you can do this and go to heaven. And then people say, well, you can be a good person and go to heaven. And people says, well, you can give alms and go to heaven. And people say that you can do all kind of faith. And the Bible said, for by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. That's right. Number one way to heaven. Number one way to heaven. It's the Bible way. Amen. It's the Bible way to heaven. The Catholic's wrong. The Baptist is wrong. The Episcopalians is wrong. The Methodist is wrong. The Muslim is wrong. Jesus is right. The Word of God is true. Amen. Amen. That's all. On conceit, this whole world's eat up with 49 different directions to heaven. Stupid Oprah Winfrey, bless God, she done must have ate so much, it cankered her brain. I'm telling you, there ain't but one way to heaven. Joel Osteen, ain't but one way to heaven. It's through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You'll come through Christ, or you're not coming alone, friend. You're not coming. It's Christ and Christ alone. Well, own way of thinking. This world's eat up with, I tell you what I think. Who gives a flip what you think? I tell you what the Bible said. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, friend. It don't matter what you think. I think God said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. Amen. Well, people's eat up with their own way of thinking. And Christians ought to sit down and... Listen, why can't you, hey, this is one of the things that just absolutely, I don't know how to express stuff. I wish I'd paid attention in English. I wish my teacher would have woke up in English when I got interested and taught me something. And then if she would, maybe I would have went to sleep. Yeah, it's my fault. But anyhow, Steve, I wonder why you can't ask hardly any independent fundamental Baptist preachers a Bible question anymore. I'm telling you, it blows my, you can't ask them nothing about doctrine. You can't question them on doctrine. They'll out you. They'll put you out. They'll turn you off. They'll find a way to have discord and problem. They'll separate themselves. Then they'll get behind your back and run around. I know what I'm talking about. Look up here at me. Anybody in this church at any God-given time, you got a Bible doctrine question, you're more than welcome to ask me. I probably won't know it, but we'll go to the Lord, we'll get in that book, and we'll find out the answer, amen. If I said something and I said it wrong, you call me out. You hold me to the carpet. I'm telling you, praise God, you ask your questions. If I don't know the answer, we'll go to the one that does know the answer. I don't have a problem with questions. You can't even ask these bunch of freeze questions. They're eat up, friend. You know why you can't ask them? Because they don't know the answer. All they know is what somebody's told them, what they read in some commentary, what some preacher stood up and told them. I'm going to tell you something. Sammy Allen was real convenient for all these preachers 25 and 30 years ago when they didn't want their wife out there wearing blue jeans. That's right. Before she got fat and out of shape and she had a halfway decent figure, Sammy Allen was real good for these independents because they didn't want their wife out there showing that nice figure and wearing them blue jeans. They didn't want their wife sitting at home watching soap operas. But nowadays, that's not convenient. They're fat and out of shape, and they've compromised. I'm going to tell you what they've done. They got his convictions. They didn't get their own. You say, what are you talking about? I'm just talking about their own conceit. We're to base what we do on the Word of God. We're to have our convictions on the Word of God. Not because some preacher said it. We were to take what that preacher said anyway and hold it up to the Word of God and make sure she lines up. And if she does, thank God, it ain't the preacher, it's the Word of God. Just get with it, amen. Get with that. Well, I'm already meaner than what I thought I was going to be. Didn't want to be mean. Number two, let's go on, maybe I can get sweet. Number two, people eat up with their own way of thinking. Bunch of jacklegs. I'm telling you, half of them's retarded, big old soft hands. They need to just go work. Amen. They couldn't tell you about working to save their life. Amen. Oh Lord, they can tell you about piddling on a computer. Well, men are just wise in their own conceit. That's what the Bible said. Hebrew number 2. Hebrews chapter number 12. Verse 15 says this, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You talking about eating up? This junk will eat you up. Now listen, I want to try my best to be a pastor and to be a friend. I do. I want to slow down and say what the Lord wants to be said today. But I'm telling you, this junk of bitterness will eat you alive. It eats you up. It eats you up, friend. You just let somebody say something or do something contrary to your liking, and the devil will give you a sprig of bitterness, a fasty to make your head swim. I'm telling you, somebody can cross your grain. Somebody can do something to upset you. I promise you, church, I've been upset before. People's ticked me off. My wife's made me mad. I've made her mad. But I'm telling you, if you're not careful, about as quick as you get mad, hey, look, man, you got something planned, and your little plans got demolished, and your plans got disrupted. And I'm telling you, if you're not careful at a time like that, you're very vulnerable to let Satan come along and hand you a sprig of bitterness, and that thing will spring up and defile a million people in your life around you, let alone yourself. You get to looking and listening to the circumstances that's around you. You get to listening to the problems and the troubles. And I'm telling you, if you're not careful, man, bitterness will get a hold of you. I mean, so many things just pile up against you. If you're not careful, that old bitterness, it'll take off. In other words, if you get your eyes off of Jesus, there's no telling what might eat you up. That's right. Oh, listen, friend, it's amazing at what people get bitter over. I'm talking about being eat up with bitterness, Mr. Stanley. That's a good biblical topic, isn't it? Being eat up with bitterness. Good for Sunday morning. I'm telling you, man, there's people that's got big plans, and their big plans got disrupted, and I'm telling you, they've got bitter over it. Got bitter over it. And you say, why? Look, I don't understand. Listen, you have to figure that out for yourself. You have to figure out, hey, if you're bitter, you have to figure out why you're bitter. What is it that's caused your bitterness? What is it that's caused your bitterness? What is it that's caused you to be eat up with this junk that's defiling everybody around you? I say to you, if you have bitterness, get it right. Please get it right, lest it spring up and trouble you. That's what bitterness does. It troubles you. And then after it troubles you, it defiles many around you. Are you listening? It defiles many around you. Many are defiled. You say, what does that mean? Well, after it gets done bothering you, guess what? It's going to start defiling your wife.
then it's going to start defiling your children. Hey, listen, wife, after you, your bitterness troubles you, then it's going to start defiling your husband. Then it's going to start defiling your children. Then it's going to start defiling your neighbors. Then it starts rubbing off at the people at church and the people that you talk to on the phone. It's going to just start defiling people everywhere. It's troubled you. Bitterness. It don't just lay there dormant, ladies and gentlemen. Your bitterness ain't dormant. You might think nobody knows it, but I'm telling you, it's defiling people. It's troubling you. There's things in our souls. There's things in our mind. There's things in our hearts that just bothers us. Sure. And if we don't let the Lord take care of that, we don't take it to the Lord. Hey, listen, why is it? I'm telling you what I believe, Miss Stephanie. I believe we get our eyes off of Jesus and we start paying attention to this stuff. And we start believing these lies and we start believing this deceit. We start believing all the little tales the devil tells us and causes that bitterness to spring up in us. That's right. Care if hell moves in. Do you hear me? I don't care what happens. We're to just stay with God. Take it to the Lord. Leave it there. What's this? People say, you and I, well, let me give you an example. Go back. Me and you's close to each other. We're close. Just say me and my wife. There you go. Well, I could say me and Steve. I could say me and my mama, Steve and Holly and Mike and Tanya and just, you know, all them comparisons. Just say you're close to somebody. And I come to you one day and I begin to run down somebody else. Can I just be honest? My mama's been lost a long time and I still don't think she's saved 90% of the time. I said, ain't no way she can get, ain't no way. Just too mean. But Michael, would you believe that when I was a kid, my mama had ideas about people in our community? Would you believe this, Sandy? Them people never done me wrong. Them people never hurt me. Them people never came against me. But you know what my perception of them people was? You know what I thought about them? Exactly what she told me. Right or wrong, I believe whatever she told me. That's right. You say, what is that? I'm telling you, there's some bitterness in there. And after it troubled her, it sprung up and it defiled me. Them people never had crossed me. Now, I probably wouldn't let Marcy Wiggins in my house either because I want to eat supper and breakfast and go to bed. You know, I ain't got time to talk 14 hours and, you know, in about 2 hours. I don't have 14 hours to cram in that. I just don't have it. I'm not trying to pick on my mom. I'm just saying, ladies and gentlemen, you can say something. You can be close to somebody. Tanya can say something to Michael about somebody, and Michael really not know that person. And because she said that, that bitterness can now start defiling him. Over here, everywhere. Because me and you's close, and I start telling you something about somebody, that's my bitterness. That's that spring of bitterness coming. What were we reading in the Sunday school lesson where we ought to take it kind of to the Lord in prayer and stop running our mouth about people and just be a little wiser and let the Lord take care of that and stop giving these people these false perceptions and letting their bitterness defile them. Now when they see that person, them bad thoughts jump in their mind. You ever done that? Has me. Because somebody close to me told me something about them. That's right. Man, I've got to now where I've tried to start taking the other side of the story. Coming to church this morning, I'm not trying to be ugly, not trying to be rude, but my wife told me two awful stories on the way to church. I was trying to think about the Lord. I was trying to be spiritual. I said, man, I'm walking in church, let me want to be spirit-filled. But I forgot I had to ride to church with my wife, and she got me all carnal. She told me two awful stories, Steve. Two awful stories. If what she told me was true, then people ought to be shot. I'm just telling you, they ought to be shot. That ain't what she told me. That's my own idea. They ought to be shot. Any man sneak around the women and watch the little girls take baths and use the bathroom, any old man that's sitting up, they ought to be shot. But anyhow, and it's amazing how many of them do it in the name of Jesus, ain't it? Isn't it amazing how many people love Jesus and won't want to do it? It's amazing, ain't it? But as I ran down the road and I went, you know what? This is my wife telling me this. Y'all know her. I mean, it may not even be true.
Ain't nobody gonna say nothing. Y'all gonna look at me like I'm some kind of an idiot. Well, I probably am because I had to pay for it on the way home. But Steve, when people tell me something about somebody anymore, I try to think of the other side, because I figured out in 48 years there usually is two sides most of the time to these things. That's right. There's usually two sides. And sometimes a little 8-year-old girl, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13-year-old girls, they see things just a little bit different sometimes than what they are. Maybe they didn't, maybe they did. But I have to take that. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. I wasn't there, I don't know. All I know is what she told me. Now, what she told me, when I see those dudes, I'm going to have some real ugly thoughts in my mind. Do you hear me? I'm going to have some negative thoughts in my mind. And I'm going to wonder what his motive was. Wonder what this sucker was thinking. Hey, pal, you ever sneaked around the bathroom window, little old girls? No, I mean, yeah, told me she spent the night with a friend one time, and the man was out there with a wig on, spying on her, taking a bath. I said, well, Lord God, I don't know. Maybe he was running off the burglar from the house. I don't know. I don't know what he was doing, but don't sound good, does it, church? What are you talking about? I'm talking about this bitterness. People get bitter, and if you don't take care of it with the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to start defiling other people with that. And it's going to start affecting this person and that person. And it's amazing now. Our perceptions change because somebody else has got a problem. Right. It's happened. Hey, listen. Colossians 3:19 says this. We all right, babe? You going to give me some sugar? Okay. Woo! Husbands, love your wives. And be not bitter against them. Colossians 3:19. Wonder why the Lord told husbands not to be bitter with their wives. Wonder why. Wonder why the Lord told husbands, wonder why he didn't tell the wife. Yeah. He knew it was prone to happen. He knew men was prone to get bitter against their wife. Why did he say be holy? Because we can be holy. Why did God give us all those commandments? Because it's what he wanted. And he told us not to do some things because he knew we were prone to do those things. And he had to tell us, don't do that. Be angry and sin not. Don't do that. Because he knew we were prone to get angry and sin. That's a very gullible or vulnerable time to get off into sin. When you get mad, you can say things and do things that you normally wouldn't. But under the circumstances, husbands, listen. There's nothing in this world the devil would like any better than to get husbands and wives bitter and hateful towards one another. Right? Can anybody tell me anything in the world the devil would like in your home any better than to have you at each other's throats? Hey, listen, don't talk to me about people shooting dough. Don't talk to me about people drinking. Don't talk. I'm telling you, he would like nothing more in this world, son. Nothing in this world anymore than to have a husband and a wife at each other's throats, sinner, to have nothing. The devil loves it. He thrives because he knows, as goes the home, so goes the church, and so goes the nation. He knows if he can get that home, if he can get that home, he's got it all, friend. He can destroy the church, he can destroy the country. It's amazing how we hoop and holler about what's going on in the country, what's going on in America. Let me tell you something, it ain't Obama's fault. It ain't George W. Bush's fault. It ain't Ronald Reagan's credit. It ain't Jimmy Carter's fault. I'm going to tell you what's wrong with America. It's our homes. It's our homes, friend. That solves the problem of the nation. You get the home where it ought to be, and the nation is where God wants it to be. The nation's out of whack because the home is out of the whack. The husband is out of whack. The wife is out of whack. The children are out of line. The home is all to hell and the nation is crumbling, falling apart. And we want to blame a stinking politician who don't have the power to do a thing. But yet the home, thank God the home is the thing that God put on planet Earth. I mean, it's them institutions that God set up, and he wants it to be heaven on earth, and he wants it to be harmony and peaceful and, like I said, tranquil. Likes that stuff in the home. And I'm just telling you, everything that God has tried to set up, the devil is trying to destroy.
Do you understand the works of Satan is to destroy the works of God? God set the home up to be a little piece of heaven on earth. The devil's job is to come in your home, husband, and sow discord between you and your wife, and create bitterness in between you and your wife, so that it now troubles you, and it doesn't stop there. Now it's going to defile your children, and your home's going to blow up. That's his whole motive. Why you go to church and everybody says, ha, 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 ha. Well, they used to go to church. Look at them. The devil gives them thoughts and little old words and gestures and mockeries to make fun of God's people. I mean, from not being obedient, not walking in the word and not obeying what God said, and not dealing with bitterness and strife and contention when it rises in our hearts. God wants us to be in love with each other. There's nobody in this building that's winning each other like any harder than me and my wife. Nobody in here. I could stand her up today without being a hypocrite. Look her in her eyes and say, I love you. Put my arms around her and me never pin her. I love, thank God, what God's given me. Amen. Ain't always been right. Ain't always been peaceful. And ain't always been harmony and unity and tranquil. Ain't always been there. But thank God, by the grace of God, he ain't a done with us. He's still working on us. The race ain't over. We ain't finished our course. There's still time for improvement. Amen. Man. Still times when she comes in, ain't nothing can tick me off any faster than my wife. There ain't nothing that can tick her off any faster than her husband. We know what buttons to push. We know what to say. We know how to get each other. And the devil will always give us some words to say. He'll always give us that leverage to push them buttons. But greater is he that's in me. I'm glad we don't have to cow down to the devil. I'm glad that we can live for God. We have peace and unity. She been everything you ever wanted her to be? Probably so, and more. Preacher, you mean tell me, I mean tell you I may not always been thinking right. That's right. Sometimes my thinking's out of whack. But my wife's as good to me as anything I've ever deserved. Amen. Right. I don't deserve nothing that good. No. I deserve nothing that good. I'm not here to toot on my wife's horn, but it's okay if I do. I'm just trying to tell you the home is a place that God set up. And we're to be careful not to let these things creep into our home, lest it defile our families. I can't emphasize it enough. As goes the home, so goes the nation. The first thing God set up on planet Earth, ladies and gentlemen, was a home. Establish the home before you establish the government. God just wants that home to be right. When he put that home on planet Earth, Miss Debbie, it's perfect harmony. When God put the first family on planet Earth over in the Garden of Eden, when he put Adam and Eve here, it was perfect unity, harmony. It was tranquil. Everything was just exactly the way God wanted to be until the devil came along.
Yeah.
And then Adam said, pointed the finger at his wife and said, but she... Hey, listen, friend, I'm talking about a man. Mom, be careful. Then we said, hey. A man that was walking with God. A man that got to spend time with God. A man that was in perfect fellowship with God. One day, he couldn't point his finger at his wife and said, the reason I ain't living for God is because of her. The reason I failed is because of her. I messed up because of her. God never looked at her one time. He said, whereas by one man's sin in the world, he was the first Adam. God sent his son as the second Adam. Didn't deal with Eve, son, he dealt with that man. Because, listen, sometimes that man, Steve, wants to do right. If you read that over in the book of Colossians, you'll see what I'm talking about. Sometimes that man will have a motive. Sometimes that man might have an idea. Sometimes that man might have a plan. Man, I'm telling you,
I want to go the way of the Lord. I want to do right. I want my family right. I want this peace. I want this heart. Sometimes, I'm telling you, he can have all the right motives in the world. And one little old mess up from a woman, she can go the different. The Bible says, before husbands don't be bitter, it says, wives, submit yourself to your husband. You know why I think the Lord said husbands don't be bitter against them? Because they're not going to always be submissive. I think right after he said that, hey, look, dummy, she's not going to always be submissive, but don't you get bitter. Don't you let that mess you up. Don't you let that cause hell in your home. Listen, she's not going to always be exactly what she ought to be, but hey, that don't give you the right to quit. That don't give you the right to get mad. That don't give you the right to get bitter. Be a man about it. Be a man. Stay with God. Be a man. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Be a man. Stay faithful. Be a man. Do right anyway, man. You don't have to eat that fruit. Adam didn't have to eat that fruit. He didn't have to give in. Gave in because he wanted to. Man, he did it because he wanted to. I get sick and tired of this blame game anyhow. I'm telling you, man, kids blame everything on a stinking mom and dad. They're old enough to make this. You old enough, bless God, to get up and change your diaper and your underwear and take your own shires and bake for yourself a little bit. You can't sit around and blame moms and dads for all the corruption and defilement in your life. You have to accept some yourself. My daddy was wicked as nine hells. You know why I did what I did, Michael? Well, because my daddy was wicked, because I wanted to. That's right. I never done anything because my daddy was wicked. Oh, there's a few times where he helped me, sure. There's a few times where we did some things together, sure. I'd have done it without him, though. I didn't need his help. There ain't nobody's help. I did what I wanted to do. Let me tell you something. I don't live for God because my wife does. I don't live for God because my friends do. I live for God because of what he done for me, and he gives me grace to live for him. Amen. He just gives me grace to live for him. You say, man, look, the devil's done got in. Listen to me. Listen real good. Say, the devil's done got into my thing. He's got into our home. He's got into our life. He's got into me, my husband, my children. The devil's done more than I tell. Let me tell you something, friend. It's not over yet. It's not over yet. It's not over yet. It's not over till they're all dead and in hell. Amen. My youngins woke up tomorrow morning, every one of them had a needle in their arm. I'd tell the devil to go to hell. Because, friend, as long as they're still alive, thank God, Michael, there's still hope. Amen. There's still hope. Thank God, as long as Jesus is on that throne, there's hope for my family. As long as God's sitting upon that throne, there's hope for my family. I'm telling you, the devil might think he's done something. He might think he's won something. I'm telling you, I done read the end of the book and he don't win. And there's still hope for my kids. There's still hope for my friends. There's still hope for my family. There's still hope for our church. I'm telling you, brother, we're going to pick up where we are and just go over God right here, right now, where we're at. Take your family. Take your wife. Take your children. Don't ask. Joshua didn't ask a question. He said, I'll tell you what, choose you who you're going to serve. If it's evil for you to serve the Lord, find you a little peanut of God and serve him. But I'll tell you what we're going to do. And he didn't say, honey, is this all right with you? He said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. Come on, baby. Come on, youngins. We're going with God. Amen. I like that. He didn't ask. He said, we're going to do this. You think Joshua's wife was a good girl? I don't know. I don't know what they was. I know one thing. He purposed in his heart that they, or nobody else was going to hinder him from doing the right thing and picking up where he was at in the midst of the junk that he was in and saying, I'm going with God. That's right. Going with God. All kind of gods for him to serve. This stuff ain't no sissy problem, ladies and gentlemen. Bitterness is not for sissies. Bitterness is not for sissies. Bitterness is not something that you can just go, it'll go away. It'll be all right. No, sir, friend, it'll kick your tail. Bitterness will eat you alive. Bitterness will take you to a grave somewhere. It don't quit. It's never satisfied. It's like that old horse. It's like the flesh. It ain't satisfied until it's run its course and destroyed you and everybody around you. When you say, preacher, what do you say? I say, listen to me. Look that bitterness in the eyes. Look your trouble. Look your problem. Look your situation here. Look whatever it is that's bogging you down. Be honest with me. I said, what's eating you up? What's keeping you from God? What's keeping you from going on with God? What's knocked you off track? Take that pain. People see that with bitterness and say, God, I'm bitter. God, I'm bitter. Now, I don't have the tools, but you've got to plow, God. Would you take it and dig up the roots that's buried deep within me and give me victory over this bitterness in my life? God, you've got what it takes. Lay that bitterness on that altar. Let God do surgery to you. Let Him run that plow, that word of God through your heart and rip that junk out by the roots. Look at me. Go look at your husband. Look at your wife. Look at your children. Look them in the eyes and say, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I failed you. I failed God. But I want you to know I love you. And I thank God for you. And you mean the world to me. And you're more than I ever deserve. God, take that and honor that and help your home. Son, I'm telling you, if you can humble yourself and look your spouse in the eyes and come clean to them and come clean to God, God will take that bitterness and rip it out by the roots. Shove it down the devil's throat and give you victory like you've never had before in your home. Not just your life, in your home. You know why most folks won't do this? Because something else is eating them up. You know what eats most people up that they can't be honest with each other, Miss Stephanie? It's that old stupid thing called pride. Amen. People are so idiot with pride that they can't look at each other and cry anymore. They can't look at nobody and say, I'm sorry. God have mercy on us. If you're wrong, there's been times, Steve, where I wasn't even wrong. But if I wasn't careful, bitterness was going to get in there. And for that, I've had to look at people when I was not even wrong and say, I'm sorry. Because thoughts have crossed my mind. Bitterness had started taking root. Negativity started coming to my mind when I started thinking about that person, and I've had to stop my pride and say, but I'm sorry. You know what helped me more than anything, JD? Telling them the problem. Telling them why I was mad at them. I'm sorry. But you did this to me and I got mad at you. I was doing this and you did that and I got upset and I'm telling you, everything is growing on me and I said, sprung up and bitterness has eaten me alive and I've got so much stinking pride I can't even come clean with you. Oh, God help us. I'm talking about a happy home today, ladies and gentlemen. I'm talking about a happy marriage. I'm talking about the home the way God wants it to be. Man, just that open communication. Being able to love each other, do you hear me? Being able to laugh with each other. Being able to weep with each other. Being able to worship with each other. Being able to rejoice with one another. It ain't just when you come here. Boy, you get down there at the house. Michael? Some of the greatest times in my married life. Steve, I can go back to the day. We was a building them houses, Miss Stephanie. Them log cabins up there was on Dalton Road in Louisville. Was building that log cabin up there for the ages. And God had been doing some stuff in our home. And I come home one day, and me and you got down there by old Jimmy Craver's house. We got in the living room and down by our couch. And we come clean with each other on our face before God would come clean. I mean clean. She and I sat there and we wept together and hugged each other and held each other and we talked to God. You know what happened to me that day, JD? I fell in love with my wife all over again. I experienced the love of Michael that day that I never experienced in all of my marriage. Son, I went back to work the next day. So help me God, I was up from that house and I felt like I was on cloud. Now listen, ladies, listen to me. Your spirit, your relationship, your attitude with your husband, this just popped in my mind, has an awful lot to do with his life. More so than you think. Listen, ladies. Now, if you use this against your husband, I hope that your tongue rots out. I hope it swells up and busts the top of your gum out. But your attitude towards your husband can determine his whole day. Miss Tanya, if you're an idiot to him before he goes to work, he's going to be down and depressed. He's going to have a hard time at work all day long. But if you'll love him on the way out the door, that'll help him work better. That day just does. It makes a difference. It makes a difference. She's that type, that spirit, that man. If she's just mean, it just changes the whole atmosphere of the home. You understand what I'm trying to say? Being discreet. If she's hateful, the whole disposition of that home is out of whack. But if mama's happy, the whole city, mama's happy, everybody says there's a lot of truth to that, church. Michael, me and her got that stuff right with each other. Son, I went to work and I thought I was on cloud nine. I mean to tell you, church, I had a revival. You say, well, they had these revivals. I'm going to tell you what me and my wife had. We had us a revival. We got right with each other. Revival ain't when everybody's getting saved at that special meeting. That's evangelism. Revival is when people start getting right with each other. And me and her got right with each other. And I'm telling you, buddy, I can remember, listen, boy, it was good. Boy, I'd come home from work, couldn't wait to get home. Couldn't wait to get home, thank God. We'd kneel down and pray and worship and cry and just love God and love each other and just have snot all over each other. It was good. I can remember the day I messed it up, babe. I remember the day Proverbs 15:1 came into effect. Soft answer turned the way around. Grievous words to apply. I remember the day, Michael, the grievous words came out of my mouth. Put a damper on that thing. Oh, I could feel it, church. God, it was so different. And my heart was sunk so low. And I went a week, and then a week turned into 2 weeks, and two turned into three, and it was a long. And I never put my head at night without going, God, I wish I had that back. Oh, God, I wish I had that back. Oh, God, I wish I had that. You know what it took? Take my wife by the hand. Wasn't super spiritual. We didn't have to jump off the top of the mountain. We didn't have to get on Twitter. Just took her by the hand, got on our knees by our couch, and asked God to forgive us and talk to each other and tell each other what our problem was. Confess it to God and confess it to each other. Confess your faults one to another. You know why you can't hardly do that anymore? Because of that. You start telling somebody what your fault is and they start using it against you. You start telling the average woman today what your fault is, and next time she gets mad, she's going to start rubbing your fault in your mouth. I mean, in your face, right? Right? Come on, right? That's right. Husband and wife, you can't confess your faults one to another, for God in heaven says he will confess to. Ain't nobody on planet Earth knows you like that. You'll be able to talk to each other. Right? You'll just be able to talk to each other. I'm talking about that open line of communication, the way God wants. You'll be able to talk to each other. Man, God gave you that person. They're better than what you deserve. You deserve to be in hell today, but God gave you a spouse. God gave you a family. God gave you a little piece of heaven here on earth, and it's up to you to turn it into hell. Because it can be hell. It can be rough. Let me tell you something, you can't do this with pride. Pride eats people up and they can't get it right. Some preachers preach this stuff, Michael, because they read a commentary or maybe a good book. I preach this stuff because I've lived it. Amen. I've lived it. I've lived it. Me and her fussed and we fought. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm just trying to be honest. That's the only way I know to help the church. Hey, I've been called some of the ugliest things on planet Earth. Not by my enemies, John David. I've been called some of the ugliest things on planet Earth by my wife. I've called her some probably the ugliest names there is to call a human being. The person that I love the most. The person that God gave me in holy matrimony. The one that we two became one. I've said some of the ugliest things. And she said some of the ugliest things. Boy, you're talking about grievous. You know what was one of the worst things about it? Steve and I said something about it the other day. And I told him, Steve, I wish I could say that, but I can't say that. One of the worst things I could say about the things we said to each other, I had 6 ears listening. Three little boys, and they heard just about every bit of it. From time to time, just stupid. Pride, arrogance. Gotta win. Let me tell you something, the only way to win is with Jesus.
The only way to win.
Honey, I'm so glad we got that stuff right. You hear me? You may kill me tomorrow, but I'm so glad, thank God, today there's love and peace and harmony. Hey, listen to me. I was thinking this morning in the shower.
Should I open the can of worms? Should I just open my house up and let people see all that stuff in my life? You know what the Lord said? Some of the devil meant it for bad. He meant it for evil. But I meant it for good. How can you help somebody unless you go through some of that stuff? And I'm like, thank you, Lord. Amen. That's right. I understand that. Sometimes I just open up, just get real honest with you, just so you can see. I'm not just one that's reading this stuff out of a book and, you know, it's a good idea. No, man, me and my wife has lived this stuff and I've seen God bring us through it and give us victory. Amen. I've seen God change this thing and turn it around. Amen. You say, are y'all where y'all to be? I said, there's still a lot of room for improvement. You hear me? She's got 40 million miles to go to get where I need her to get. Amen. Amen. Hey. I believe a man ought to be a man. I don't know why the Lord just brings stuff up my mind. I guess we need it. I think a man ought to be a man. You know how many times, Michael, I'd be at the house and the Lord would impress on me to go pray. I just have that urge, that small, still voice down in my soul telling me to go pray. And I'd be like, well, Lord, I'm going to pray tonight. I'll just pray tonight, you know. And in the back of my mind, I was planning on praying. Can I be honest with you? Between that time and the time that I was going to go pray, me and her done got each other's throat. I'm telling you, I couldn't count the times, JD, where God had impressed me to go pray, and I put my prayer off, son. Do you hear me? I put my prayer off. I disobeyed God. I didn't just disobey him. I said, I'll do it after a while. After a while, it never came, because somewhere between then and after a while, me and her had started using some grievous words. Got plumb stupid. You ever try to be a man? Listen, and go to the prayer closet and you ain't right with God. You ain't right with your wife. And you've been fussing and carrying on. And you try to go in and pray. Good luck. Good luck. I'm not very good at that because God knows what's going on. And I can't be a good hypocrite about it.
You say, why'd you say that?
Because it'd be easy. Hey, it'd be easy for me to point the finger because she's a woman. She is crazy. She married me, she has to be crazy. But there's things that she does that I just absolutely cannot stand. That's right, I do things that she probably cannot stand. And it'd be easy as fire, Steve, for me to be able to go, she started it. JD, she started, you know how many times she was the initiator? There's been times where I was up. You know how many times she was, Michael? Do you think she would have been the initiator, Miss Holly, if I'd been where I was supposed to be with God and been praying?
No.
So I said, well, she was the initiator, but if I was where I was supposed to be with God, she'd have never had it to initiate. She'd have never went in that prayer closet when I was in there trying to get a hold of God and started in on me. She's got enough sense to know, hey, I'll wait till afterwards at least. But I'm telling you, friend, I could have come out of that prayer closet and I could have been right with God, and she could have made the same comment to me, and because my heart was in tune and fellowship with God, my response would have been totally different. And the situation would have never happened. I've took time on most of my fights to go, Lord, I'm sorry that was my fault. You say, why? Because I'm the husband. I'm the husband. It's been my fault. As crazy as she is, it's my fault. And my wife, Miss Holly's crazy too. John David told me all about it the other day, Miss Holly. He said, Mama's plumb crazy. She does Daddy terrible. But I said, that's all right. Listen, church, and I'm done. I promise you we'll finish later. The Bible says this. So preach away. He's so hard on it. We'll maybe come back after lunch and get some of the positive. What does the Bible say? The Bible says pride goeth before destruction. So man, she's gonna get right. Well, I'm gonna tell you something, friend. Pride go up before destruction. You don't forget that. You got so much pride, you can't get rid of that junk and go get it right. Well, I'm gonna tell you what's gonna happen. It's gonna start destructing in your life.
You better learn how to destroy it, get rid of that pride before it destroys you, and go get some things right yourself. So I ain't done nothing wrong. Don't matter. Get it right anyhow. If you got all it in your heart, you got problems. If you ain't got an open connection with God because of some feeling or some thought or something you said between you and some, hey, friend, you got to get that right with God. Say, well, they ain't willing to go with me. Go alone! Go along, get you some backbone, get you some God besides a little peanut God, and go on alone if you've got to. You know what I always said? If what you've got's real, it won't be long. Somebody's going to want it anyhow. If what you've got's real, they're going to want it anyhow. Live one way down at the church and another way at home, I wouldn't want what you got either, right? You live one way at home and another way on the job, I wouldn't want what you got anyway. But if what you got's real, and if God is abiding, thank God I know people that wants that hope and peace and joy and love in their home. Man, I don't know anybody that don't. It's got a half a brain. Father, we thank you for this day. Oh, Lord, if I said anything that's not pleasing to you, wipe it, dear God, from the memory of the people. And help us, dear Lord, to take that which you'd have us to take, Lord, and apply it in our heart, in our life. And God, take it, God, and just hold on to it and deal with it. And Lord, help us to not blow off the word of God. Help us to come clean one with another. Fall in love all over again. Oh, God, pray that you'd bless this food. Help my mama today. Give her and John a good visit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Boy, you remember falling in love. Amen. You remember falling in love. You remember falling for that old boy. You remember falling for that old girl. Do you remember that? Son, I remember it.